The God of Comfort, Bible Study Lesson Number 13, January the 14th, 2013. Pastor Samuel Longfellow, in 1864, wrote a hymn called God the Father. I look to thee in every need, and never look in vain. I feel the thy strong and tender love, and all is well again. The thought of thee is mightier far than sin and pain and sorrow are. Discouraged in the work of life, disheartened by its load, shamed by its failures or its fears, I sink beside the road, but let me only think of thee, and in you heart springs up in me. Thy calmness bonds serene above. My restlessness is too still. Around me flows thy quickening life to nerve my faltering will. Thy presence fills my solitude. Thy providence turns all to good. Embosomed deep in thy dear love, held in thy law I stand. Thy hand in all things I behold, and all things in thy hand. Thou leadest me by unsought ways. Thou turnest morning into praise. Amen. A great hymn. Last September, I attended a Bible conference in Spokane, Washington. One of the speakers, a longtime friend of mine, Bruce Einspar. And Bruce spoke on the issue of music in the church. Excellent presentation, in which he pointed out that the real issues were the issues of the content of the words, the doctrine in the song. Not the beat, not the melody, not all these things, but the words of the song coming from the heart. Cardia, we would say, in the Greek, the right bank of the soul. One of the best presentations I've heard on music in this day and age in which people prefer the contemporary music when they're trying to be popular. Fit into the cultural systems of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ belongs to Him. It does not belong to you and I. We're members of the mystical body of Christ, baptized into union with Christ at the moment of our salvation. Christ is said to be declared to be by God the Father our head, our authority, our prince ruler. And the standard of all worship and all approach to God must come through our high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're living in some very terrible times in America today because of the abandonment of the principles of the things of God. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and of absolute objectivity of the teaching of the Word of God. Our blessed God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you crying, Abba Father. We approach you humbly, coming before the throne of grace, seeking to lift up our prayer to you through the filling of the Spirit, and taking it the only way you can accept it, through a high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for maximum grace, mercy, and spiritual peace for those who are part of our ministry, those under severe trials and tests at this time. Father, some of those involved with our ministry have recently suffered the loss of loved ones. Father, some of them are facing personal life-threatening health issues. Father, others have loved ones who are facing these issues of life-threatening. Father, some of them are suffering from long-term, non-life-threatening health issues. Some of them are now in nursing homes or assisted living homes. Some have family members who have taken upon themselves the duties and obligations of being a primary care worker for these their loved ones. Some are seeking care workers who will truly take care of them correctly. Some are without jobs. Some are faced with major financial problems as they seek to provide food, shelter, clothing, transportation, security for their families. Father, we know of believers who are dealing with family members who are addicted to illicit drugs or alcohol. Therefore, they've lost their ability to function normally in society, fulfill their obligations and responsibilities, and this has thrown tremendous pressure upon their spouses, upon their children or their parents. Father, we know believers who've been deserted by their spouse and now must face the daily trials and tests alone without a helpmate. Father, we know believers who have the burden of dealing with unsaved parents, as spouses, siblings, and children who demonstrate no interest in the things of God. Some of them have family members who are spiritually backslidden and living in reverse process reversionism as if they'd never been saved. No interest in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, it's our desire for the Holy Spirit to guide each one of them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to comfort them. Father, it's our desire that they will seek through Bible doctrine the correct divine problem-solving devices to allow them to faith rest in your divine grace protocol plan for their lives and pass these tests. Father, because the Word of God no longer has a major influence on our national culture, we also ask that each one come to understand that their problems are not unique to them. They're common throughout our nation. Therefore, we pray for a spiritual revival in our nation. We desire to see a new generation of pastors who are committed to the in-depth study and teaching of the Word of God. A new generation of believers committed to applying Bible doctrine in every area of their lives. We ask for a new spiritual awakening of teaching of dispensational theology. Father, we long to see believers who come fully to understand the whole counsel of God, and to be looking daily, holding on to the blessed hope for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you to take this Bible class, bless it, and sanctify it to the souls of each one who studied. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're dealing with God, the Father of all comfort. Second Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. King James Authorized Version. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Father of all mercies. The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate between us and God the Father, who is the Father of all mercies. The Father is important for us to understand. He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. There are two things of which God is said to have a monopoly. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all comfort. All grace comes from Him. All lasting comfort comes from Him. Consolation and comfort are the same in the original text you get from God. Suppose you've noticed that the Word of God, the three persons of the blessed, adorable Trinity, are all spoken of as engaged in the ministry of comfort. Here we have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the God of all comfort. Then we remember the title the Blessed Lord used for the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16, and speak of Him as another comforter. the Parakletos, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S in the Greek, the one who comes to our help, to sustain and strengthen. In John 2:1, we read, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word Father, advocate, is the same Greek word translated comforter in other passages. If any man sin, we have a comforter. That refers to Lord Jesus Christ. So God the Father is the comforter. God the Holy Spirit is the comforter. God the Son is the comforter. How wonderfully we are taken care of. The entire guide is engaged in comforting and sustaining the people of the Lord. That was a quote from H.A. Ironside's addresses on the second epistle to the Corinthians, 1939. The American Standard Version says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in our any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The New American Standard Version says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so we'll be able to comfort those who are in afflictions with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in afflictions with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, is the English Standard Version. And we just read you the King James Authorized Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, to show that all four declare God the Father is the God of comfort. That is a title for him, the God of comfort. The Apostle Paul had been up the creek and over the mountains using old-style American West talk, which means that he had been through a tremendous number of trials and tests. He had made it through them all. He had made it through them all. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. Because the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, that was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times, that it might leave me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry, I said 11. I wanted to, this is chapter 12, verse the second one I was going to read you. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. He made it clear that it was the Father's grace that carried him each step of the way. Now look at 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28, and let's see some of the things he went through. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I am more so. In far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles. Dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardships, too many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, and exposure. Apart from that, such external things, there is a daily pressure on me, concern for all the churches. Painful as Paul's physical, difficult as worries, spiritual burdens were even greater. We see here an interesting concept. Paul states that false teachers claim to be servants of God only for the sake of argument. But he was one who had been beaten 39 lashes. This referred to beatings administered in a synagogue. The law prescribed 40 lashes in Deuteronomy 25, 1-3, but only 39 were given in order to be certain of not exceeding the limit. Beaten with rods was a Roman punishment administered to Paul at Philippi, Acts 16:23. He was stoned at Lystra, Acts 14:11-19. He was shipwrecked. These are not specifically recorded in Acts. The ones in Acts 27:27-44 after 2 Corinthians was written, but I believe these were on his journeys during the solid period of Paul's life before he went to Antioch, where he probably went all the way to what is now at least into Iraq as far as the Euphrates River. probably crossed the Euphrates River during some of his early missionary journeys when he was traveling alone. We taught this in our series on Paul in our introduction to the book of Ephesians a number of years ago. It's available on tape to those that are interested in studying. Paul had endured many things, but he found his comfort, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In John 14:16-17, we read from the King James translation. I'll quote you, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." J. Vernon McGee says, "What is the comforter then? He is not simply someone who simply kisses a bruise. He is a helper, a strengthener, an advocate. He is one who is called to help me and strengthen me, to relieve the loneliness and assuage the grief and calm the fears. He means help in time of terrifying trouble." Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper, Psalm 31:10. That is the cry of the soul, the needs of the comforter. God is the God of all comfort. Through the Bible, Volume 5, 1983. Now, Paul had began his second epistle to Corinthians with a prayer of praise. The Greek word translated blessed, eulogetos, E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S, and actually means praise. Praise be to God. However, it is deeper meaning than simply praise. The Greek aionos, A-I-O-N-O-S, epinos, E-P-A-I-N-O-S, and anesios, A-I-N-E-S-I-S. It is used three times in the New Testament to begin worship prayers of praise to the Father. The doxology of 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 and 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. I'll let you look those up. We've taught these before. And the other five usages found in the New Testament is also applied only to God. Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68, Romans 1:25 and 9:5, and 2 Corinthians 11:31. To more fully express its meaning, we prefer our own personal translation that we gave when we exegeted it out of the Greek text out of Ephesians, some almost about 38 years ago, something like that. Worthy of all praise, honor, glory, thanksgiving, and adoration be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort. Paul used eulogetos for a special form of praise prayer of the Father in his doxology of 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, and Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. To express his sincere love and adoration for God the Father, in 2 Corinthians includes his appreciation of the Father as the God of all comfort. He designates him by the special title, God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This name reflects their relationship by eternally mutable generation. He is also called the Father of Mercies because he is the fountain of all the grace blessings which flow forth from God to all of us poor, undeserving, redeemed sinners. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. The Father loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 31. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But he redeemed us by grace and not by love. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is unmerited favor. The Father has saved us through the blood work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. A very familiar verse to you, reading from the NASV this time. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You can also check out for yourselves 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, Acts 20:28, Hebrews 9:12-14, Revelation 5:9. The merit is found only in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ as voluntary, substitutionary, sacrificial work of atonement on the cross of Calvary. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Acts 4:10-12, 16:30-31. 16:31, you all know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Upon the same account, Paul also called upon God the Father of all comfort. The Greek word for comfort is parakaleo, which means to call alongside of. God the Father is prepared to comfort us in all our trials and tribulations. We are his children, and therefore as our loving Father, he is ready to comfort us. We allow him to do so. We are his children, John 1:12. And to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even them that believe on his name. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Actually, we have, we are there, H-U-I-O-I, meaning sons. But to be a son, you must first be a child. Sonship was the adoption basis that they came into. We're his children. We belong to him. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. King James says sons of God in the Greek. We don't have we, us, but technon for children. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The Father is our patriarchal Father because he placed his seed in us, because we belong to him. Therefore, as our loving Father, he is ready to comfort us when we allow him to do so. The problem is that our natural man, the nature of corruption, the old sin nature, wants us to seek our comfort through sublimation. The sins of pride and selfishness lead believers into self-pity. Then in their carnal state, these believers seek humanistic answers to spiritual problems. We're to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. The Father is our heavenly Father, and he is the Father. He has the Father's love for us, and therefore he wants us to bring our problems to him. We bring them to him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is our high priest, our defense attorney. He stands ready at all times to present our case to God the Father. Hebrews 4:14-16. Familiar passage to all of you. Some of you have undoubtedly memorized it because of all the pressures you've been under in your life. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help. Grace to help in time of need. Turning to Christ to provide our help. Looking to the only one who can help us. This becomes our issue. Casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Each one of us. 1 John 2:1-2. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The problem is too many believers are too busy fighting their own battles by their own human ingenuity, and they never seem to understand that they have lost the battle before it ever starts. Paul is an apostle, is an example to every pastor teacher to seek comfort from the Father of all comfort. As ministers of the gospel, we need to understand that God the Father is the ultimate source of all true comfort. It is sent the Holy Spirit to provide soul comfort to every believer. Lord Jesus Christ is actively involved as our heavenly representative. The Spirit helps us in the midst of our weaknesses by searching the depths of our souls and communicating our heartfelt appeals to the Father. Romans 8:26-27. I'm going to use the NASV for this one. Anytime I quote, I have to quote from the King James, unless it's a translation, that my own translation I made sometimes, correcting an exegesis work. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses, our inability to pray intelligently about situations, by praying with unutterably groanings. This is not the gift of tongues, but these groans are not in the words. Such intercession is in accord with the Father's will. Verse 27. He searcheth the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit is our internal parakletos, our internal comforter, and our intercessor in times of prayer, helping us to put our true thoughts in a way that the Father, they're clear from what it is. The Father can read our intents also, but this is a part of God, the whole Godhead working together on our behalf. And this becomes a great encouragement to us. And every believer has a duty to be ready to provide help to our fellow believers when they are in need. I've taught you this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. We need to be ready to pick up the rucksack of another believer and carry it. I found out in life, though, that a small group of believers will be there to pick up rucksacks a lot of the time, but most believers will come back and forth and what they'll make themselves available. Their own struggles and trials, their own priorities in line. The older I get, the more I see people either physically unable to do things, mentally unable to do things, but actually unable to do things. Or simply they get themselves sidetracked in life. How many times have I given you Galatians 6? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now the word for burden there is different in the Greek between the two. We've given you that before. We've exegeted out every word of that to you at one time or another. If the believer is overtaken, the ESV translates it caught. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves so that you will not be tempted. This is apprehended, taken by surprise, caught red-handed, for the meaning of is there a concept that they've committed the sin. To restore, use the setting of broken bones and the mending of fishing nets. The burdens here are the excessive burdens of verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. These are excessive burdens that we need to share with one another to contrast the load different Greek words are used in verse 5. For each one will bear his own load. Living under grace is not license. It's a life of love and a life of service according to Galatians 5:6. We want to let him who has taught the word communicate unto him and teach it in all good things. Verse 13. For neither they that themselves are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. We have a duty to be ready to pick up the rucksacks of believers and help them to be ready to comfort them. We can't always do that. One thing, we don't always know what's going on. Another thing, we can't communicate with them. We got some believers involved with this ministry who are going through some really rough times. Some are very close to the part now, crossing the bridge of dying grace. Some of them are enduring severe physical suffering, pain. People who live with the burdens of this world. People who live daily in pain and suffering can't be understood by people who are young and healthy, or older and healthy and don't seem to have anything going wrong right now. We know people who run to doctors with the very least of things, and others who are using the old Western colloquial statement, bite the bullet and keep going. People used to bite down on a bullet, prepare themselves hard to get, in other words, to tense up to get ready to accept. Something like slapping a hot branding iron on a wound to seal it off. Stop the bleeding. Things like that. The medicine of long ago. Procedures of rough cow country. Mountain country, where mountain men trapped fur and things and couldn't run to a doctor because the nearest doctor was 1,500, 2,000 miles away or more. For the care of the, help care of the spiritual burdens of believers who are burdened down beyond the normal things of this world, they can't handle it. However, we must make sure that this doctrine is pertinent to their problems. If they're in real need, we also need to be prepared to provide for them with material help. And this is one that a lot of believers choke over. They're too busy holding on to their own wealth, their own concept. It's been interesting who God uses to support this ministry over the years. It's not usually the wealthy among us. It's usually the poor, widows, Oh, man. So them combat soldiers of other wars understand the value of spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict from having been in material. Temporal life warfare battle fails. Look at James 2, 14 to 20. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, in other words, God bless you, God bless you, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, even what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone. This is experiential death. This means you're functioning outside the protocol plan of God through carnality. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Paul used himself as a living testimony of how believers can make it through the very hardest of tests. However, he made it clear that God the Father is the one doing the work of deliverance. As ministers, we may share with those under our teaching ministry the true stories of when, where, and how the Father has comforted us. We should be able to provide some comfort to our people. We're not under any troubles, either of mind or body. However, we need to use the same method in the arguments which Paul has used. This means our comforting words must be centered on their need to look to the Father to supply their soul needs through the internal work of the Spirit while they're occupied with Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We don't make ourselves the macho issue when we share stories of God taking it through, like when God took Linda through 24 and a half days, I think it was, in the hospital with the brain surgery, in and out of the comas and all. Sitting there getting very little sleep, all broken sleep. Trying to watch over and do what I could. And getting a clear view of what happens in hospitals when they're understaffed. The nurses are overworked. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, occupying with our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul begins his second epistle to the Corinthians with a prayer of praise. The Greek word translated blesses is eulogetos, as we point out to you. He's praising him. So when he talks about him as the God of comfort, he's talking about the God that he is worthy of that is worthy of all praise, glory, and adoration. Therefore, we need to think about the fact that the God of mercies and the Father of comfort, if we fully worship God, we have to believe those titles are ascriptive to him of his attributes, mercy and comfort, and look to them. We don't talk about enough about God's attribute of being of comfort, but he is the God of comfort. He is the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside to see us through. We must allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to work in the souls of these believers, though, just as he has worked in our own soul. As we share Bible doctrinal truth with believers who are filled with the Spirit, check out Ephesians 5:18 with 1 John 1:3-10. We've read those passages so many times to you. We share Bible doctrine with believers who are filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help the doctrinal recall. John 14:26. But the Comforter, the Parakletos, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. The Spirit brings things to my memories. Sometimes it's doctrine he brings to me through doctrinal hymns that I learned long ago. Sometimes I'll only remember part of the song anymore because churches don't sing them. Nothing wrong with them. But they're old. Quit looking backwards. Look forward, brother. Let me tell you something. New Testament canon of Scripture was completed in 96 A.D. It was written between 30 and 96 A.D. It experienced the church age. The Gospels, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth prior to his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. Matthew is undoubtedly the oldest of our New Testament writings. Revelation is the last one. Probably a period of about 59 years, from around 37 A.D., 36 A.D. when Matthew was written, possibly even in Aramaic originally, then in Greek, to Revelation. They're not new, but the Word of God is ever living. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful, ever living. Sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints of marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Just because something is old doesn't mean it doesn't have value. The Holy Spirit will help us to recall doctrine. Then the Holy Spirit will guide us. Romans 8:14. How many times have you heard me say that? I'm accenting it slowly for you to drive it home to you. How many times have you heard the words, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Living and functioning inside the divine dynasphere, God's divine power system, Romans 15:13. How many times have you heard this verse? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father is not only the God of mercy. The Father is not only the God of comfort. The Father is the God, the Father of hope. There are two important Bible doctrinal lessons in these verses that we need to fully understand. And by these verses, we're speaking of the passage in Corinthians there. The first one is that Apostle Paul attributes all the support, relief, and comfort which he has received during his time of trials and tribulations to God the Father. He does this because he recognizes the Father as the fountain, the original source, and the author of all mercy. Father is the fountain from which mercy flows. The Father is the author of mercy. The Father is called the God of mercy. Our passage there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, how it thunders home to us, to you and to me. I encourage you to memorize this passage. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of comfort. The Spirit may help us to recall the doctrine of the faith rest drill and guide us in the doctrine of divine problem-solving devices, but it is the Father who designed the eternal grace protocol plan of the ages. The Father sent the Spirit to provide the canon of Scripture to us by verbal plenary inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrinal teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, Christ, the man of God, may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. First, 2 Peter 1:19 to 21. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as in the light that shineth in a dark place, and the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing that first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God. God sent the Spirit to provide the Word to us, that we could have it. Through verbal plenary inspiration, it was given to human scribes. The Father sent the Spirit to permanently indwell each one of us at the moment of our salvation. John chapter 7. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But that was Romans 5:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him is that you justified the ungodly, his faith, I'm sorry, that's 4 or 5. My apologies, I looked the wrong side of the Bible page, my turn. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I'll let you look up for yourselves Romans 8:9, 1 Corinthians 3:16. It was given to us so that we could walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 and 25, two very familiar verses to all of you that study into my ministry on a regular basis. The ultimate source of comfort is a spiritual peace, which the Father in grace promises to give to us to stabilize our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15. And the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to thee which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The basis for this peace is divine peace, which is one of the 9 manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It is a peace which belongs to us because we're in Christ. It is His peace that is shared with us. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And we put that with John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As believers, if we're to find divine comfort in time of need, we must learn to depend upon the Father through the daily occupation with Christ. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is possible we find comfort through the application of some promises applied in their proper context, that these promises are brought to mind while we're reading Scripture, or are brought to our remembrance by some other believer. But we must remember it is God the Father who is the guarantor of these promises, and He sent the Spirit to make this spiritual medicine work and to bring healing to our souls. God uses pastors. He uses individual believers. We're all told, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh, the hope is in him. He uses us to bring doctrinal principles to believers to remind them of what they've learned in the past, or help them to learn doctrines they should have learned and have not learned. But the Father is the one behind it. He's the guarantor of the promises. The Spirit is the one who makes this spiritual medicine work and bring healing to the souls. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the redeemed church universal, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, who is the great physician of the soul, Mark 2, 17. I'll let you look up the Ephesians passage. You're familiar with that. He's the head of the body. Mark 2, 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ is the great physician of the soul. So the Father is the principal efficient cause, though the Scripture or men may be the instrumental cause in bringing you comfort, truths of comfort. Secondly, the spiritual gifts, graces, and mercies that God the Father bestowed upon his ministers are bestowed upon them not merely for their own use, but for the use and good of others to enable them to be serviceable in doing good to other souls. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Should all be familiar with his verses. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Put that one, Acts 1:8. You can look that one up for you. Ephesians 4:11 to 16, where the pastor's to be in his pulpit studying and teaching the congregation, in Romans 12, 3 to 8. Romans 12, 3-8, you're all familiar with the Ephesians 4 passages being tied. We've covered that with the gift of pastor teacher, the teacher Caminas Pai Didaskala. The Chi is a connective conjunction, K-I, as we point out to you. Pastor is to be a teacher. Romans 12, 3-8. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dwelt to every man the measure of his faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are in one body in Christ, and every one member is one of the other. Another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportions of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. For he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Every born-again believer is a member of the Father's royal family. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, we've taught you this. Father has a heavenly family, we're his heavenly family. We're seated, Ephesians 2, 3, 6, in the heavens in Christ. We're a royal soldier, 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4. We've been through that many times. We have a duty to each other in the spiritual warfare and angelic conflict, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, where we put on the whole armor of God. And the first thing we do, we stand and we pray for believers under attack. Romans 15, 4 says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. John Gill's exposition of New Testament, Volume 6, 1852, has this to say about that. The Scripture is only written for our present instruction, but for the generating, encouraging, and establishing a hope of eternal life in another world, which they are the means of under the influence of divine grace, as they give us a clear account of eternal life, of the promises of it in Christ, of its being procured by him and secured in him, and the means of enjoying it through his blood and righteousness, of the declaration of God's free grace and mercy to sinners, and the various instances of persons who have been partakers of it, all which encourage to hope in the Lord and to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. believing that we might also have and enjoy the things hoped for through patience and comfort in the Scriptures, both which are encouraged thereby. The patience of the Scriptures is not stoically apathy, a stupid indolence, and is of a different kind from the patience the writings of the heathen philosophers define and recommend. The Scripture gives an account of the true nature of patience in bearing all sorts of evils for Christ's sake, of the excellency and usefulness of it, and do strongly exhort unto it upon the best principles and with the best motives, and are full of promises to the exercise of it, and furnish out the best examples of suffering, affliction, patience. The comfort of the Scriptures is such as is not to be met with elsewhere. These writings abound with exceeding great and precious promises and excellent doctrines, big and with consolation to the saints, and both serve much to cherish, support, and maintain a hope of eternal happiness, all which prove the divine authority, excellency, and usefulness of the sacred writings, and recommend the reading of them by us, the hearing of them explained by others. John Gilpin, Exposition of the New Testament, Volume 6, 1852. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." One of the reasons that God the Father has given us the precious grace gift of the written account of Scripture is for us to find a source of comfort in time of need. The problem is that a majority of believers spend little time studying in depth the Word of God. If they read it, they usually read it like they would read any other book. In our modern culture, it has become the custom for many to seek out churches where they have an entertaining preacher, one who will tell a few jokes, maybe read a poem or sing a song to accent some point he wants to drive home to his congregation. He calls himself a preacher and makes fun of those who are truly seeking to fulfill the calling as pastor-teacher. He may give them a lot of application, but he never seems to understand this congregation needs to be grounded in the Word of God. We need to all ask ourselves the question, why did God give us such a deep and complex book as the Holy Bible, unless it was for our personal spiritual benefit? Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." If a physician was to look at one of us in the face and say you have an incurable cancer and have to most a month to live, I don't think that would cause any of us to remember any pulpit jokes that we've heard in church on Sunday morning. However, with the help of the Spirit, we might instantly remember the words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23:4. As the shock began to wear off, we might recall the words of the 23rd Psalm. We studied and learned the doctrine of dying grace, and this Psalm could bring comfort to our souls as we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I've got a sense of humor. I enjoy a good joke as well as most other people. However, what we need to understand is that people around us are dying every day. Read Genesis 5, 5, 8, 11, 14, 17, 20, 27, 31, and he died, and he died, and he died, all the way through it. Unless we're alive at the rapture of the redeemed church universal, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53, we've given you those verses many times, each one of us will face the issue of physical death one day. Hebrews 9, 27 is appointed a man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. If our death is swift and without warning, then we will not need to seek spiritual comfort for our souls. However, history teaches us that death is not usually so quick and fast for a majority of members of the Adamic human race. Augustus H. Hare, in Guesses and Truth, at Truth, No Date, wrote long ago, "The ancients dreaded death. The Christian can only fear dying." Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." For some of us, each day brings a reminder of the frailty of life. Not only do we have the aches and pains that come from the aging process, but we have set beside many deathbeds, many gravesides throughout the years. It is important to remember that God the Father, through his sovereignty, will control all of the issues of death. Psalm 68:20. If we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, John 3:16-18, Acts 16:30-31, then the Father has given us his grace gift of salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9. These are all familiar verses, so we're not going to stop to quote them. He loves us with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3, and he has made us one of his children, John 1:12. Therefore, if we have studied, understood, believed, and applied to life the doctrines of the Father's love, 1 John 4:8 and 16, God is love. And the will of the Father is salvation, grace, blessings, package, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Then we can have confidence that the Father has in love and grace personally planned and approved the time and means by which we shall depart this material world. Christ will walk us through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23 with Revelation 1:18, all familiar passages to you. And we can even anticipate death as the last victory in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict, 2 Timothy 4:6 to 8. Paul had finished his course. He was ready to die. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not only to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. It does not matter what test or trial any one of you are facing today. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can seek divine help from above. Hebrews 4:14-16. We need to learn to live inside the Father's faith rest life, resting in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right, the next class we'll pick up from here, and we'll continue to look at issues that are important, dealing with life and God the Father as the God of mercy and the Father of comfort. Father, we come to you humbly and thank you for grace, mercy, and peace. We thank you for one more day you've given to us. Father, we pray each believer will take this doctrine to heart. Examine the verses that we didn't read. Relook the ones we read. Searching the scriptures to see if these things are of God. And when they're confirmed in their soul by the Holy Spirit, we pray it will help them to be a stronger believer, a stronger warrior in the spiritual warfare and angelic conflict, and one ready to help rescue AWOL believers from spiritual warfare by showing them the way of truth. In Christ's name we pray.